This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Resumes are quickly becoming a thing of the past. That's not even a prediction, that's just a fact. The weight and importance that companies and employers give resumes has been dwindling over the last decade or so, and will probably continue to dwindle until resumes become completely obsolete. See, the thing is, companies used to rely on resumes and CVs because those were pretty much the only way you could get to know a complete stranger before hiring them. You had to sort of believe what they had to put down on paper, trust your gut, hire them, and see if they performed accordingly. These days, because of the internet and the role social media plays in every household, all of us are super connected to an open network of sorts. We have information splattered all over the place, on Facebook and Instagram, on Twitter, and it's easier for employers to check out a candidate's different personas just by Googling their names. Now, things aren't going to change just because of Facebook, or social media, but remember that artificial intelligence, or AI, is also becoming a huge part of our daily lives and the way we live and operate on a daily basis. With advancements in machine learning happening faster than ever before, employers are bound to turn to algorithms when hiring their next employee, simply because it'll be more accurate and it'll give them a better understanding of who that employee is as a person. There's also the rising gig economy, right? More and more people are either becoming full-time freelancers or part-time freelancers. And with things like Uber and Grab allowing people to make some extra cash on the side, as well as co-working spaces giving people a space to work without ever needing a full-time office, there's a growing community of people that rely more on their portfolios and their personal skill sets than a traditional resume. If anything, a resume just slows down the process of hiring a freelancer because it's a component that doesn't really work in the gig economy. Here's the thing. Obviously, just like any kind of change, there are pros and cons to the decline of the resume, and that's what today's episode is going to be about. We're going to discuss the ups and downs as well as the reasons why the resume will become obsolete in the near future. This is Five for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and this episode is called 5 Reasons Why Resumes Will No Longer Be Required.
Number one.
One reason why resumes will start to fade away is because of how much access we have to video and voice platforms. Rewind to maybe 15 years ago, right? And producing high-quality video and sound meant having some major league equipment on you. There was an investment involved. So not everyone had the same level of access, meaning there was no level playing field. Skip back to today, and there's a 99% chance that the phone that you have in your pocket can take, at the very least, average quality video and audio. Penny Queller, the senior vice president of Monster. Monster is a massive recruitment platform. Penny Queller says that more and more companies are focusing on attitude over accomplishments, and video resumes or video portfolios will be a great way to bring the focus back to the humanity behind the hiring process. According to Queller, video can help employees and recruiters cut through the noise because it immediately feels like a more personal experience than first learning about someone through, let's say, text on paper. Now, you're probably thinking, wait, why send in a video resume when you can just go in for an interview, right? I mean, you're already there and you're meeting the person face to face, so what is the video for? Well, one, not everyone who sends in a resume gets called in for an interview. Again, this boils down to the resume being a poor representation of a candidate. Some resumes have just no way of conveying a person's actual skills, and even worse, resumes have no way of projecting someone's personality and attitude onto paper. But with video, employers pretty much get the gist of who the person is, and the filtration process becomes even more effective. There's also the fact that video gives people the advantage of a digital barrier. I mean, we all know the feeling, right? So most people are nervous and on their best behavior during interviews. You don't normally get an actual picture of the person itself during your first meet because it's a very formal sort of situation, no matter how casual you try to make it. But with video, people get to be more creative, they get to be more confident, they get to be more of themselves because there's that screen that's in between you and the person you're interviewing with. Now, here's the downside to job applications via video. It doesn't exactly tackle the issue of discrimination and bias? I mean, if anything, and if we're being completely honest, it kind of makes it worse. See, with traditional resumes, you can't really tell who the person is until you call them in, so you have to look at them face to face. But with video, you know from the first frame, right? You know exactly who they are. So for a company that has a hiring bias already in place, maybe they prefer a certain race, or they want a certain gender, or maybe the hiring manager is just... maybe they just like more attractive people. You know, there are cases out there. Video resumes amplify these problems. So while there's a huge chance that video could become a mainstream method of applying for a job in the near future, it isn't exactly the best way or the most progressive way moving forward. Which is why our next segment is about a method that was invented to eliminate bias. Or maybe not invented, but sort of helps in a huge way of eliminating bias. Algorithms. Algorithms are the reason why your Spotify playlist is amazing, and it'll probably be why workplaces will be colorblind in the near future.
Number two.
Now, the implementation of algorithms in the job hiring process is a multi-layered process with multi-layered purposes. It isn't just to eliminate bias and discrimination. In fact, those things are more like a nice bonus to the whole concept, if we're being completely honest. See, the biggest issue companies face with the way they hire people is inaccuracy. There's just no real way to test a person before hiring them. And it's crazy when you think about it, because these big decisions, these company-defining decisions, are pretty much shots in the dark, you know? I mean, now, obviously, you know, there are high-ranking people who have experience and a reputation that precedes them, and that's a completely different case. But in a lot of cases, there's no real way to know if someone is a good fit other than taking their word for it and looking at a paper they made by themselves about themselves. So this is where algorithms come in. Hiring the wrong people leads to messy KPI scores and a workplace that's pretty much out of sync with itself. But when you have data to help you out, it's a completely different scenario. According to an article on HR Drive by Catherine Moody, algorithms can help companies understand themselves better, and it can map out the company's strategy, its needs, its gaps, and then point out the kind of person it needs to address those issues. And from a candidate's perspective, they could either have profiles carried forward from previous companies or a series of aptitude and attitude tests to determine if they'll be a proper fit. This process kind of skips over the part where people list down their experiences and move straight into their skill set instead, because it is pretty much what most companies are looking for in the first place. Now, just because algorithms might be a more effective way to screen for candidates, doesn't mean it doesn't have some pretty big downsides. See, the biggest flaw with AI and algorithms and machine learning is that it's the direct opposite of handing in a self-made resume. By which I mean, it completely takes away the humanity in the hiring process. Algorithms rely on data. Completely. And if a person's data either isn't fed into the system, or the system's logic sees someone as a good fit based purely on their skill set and very little on their behavior or other, you know, how do I say, more human traits, that could be a problem as well. But again, if this was a ping pong match, then you could ping the earlier statements pong with, but algorithms are great for eliminating bias in the hiring process, which is true, and we will get to that part after the break. But overall, it looks like while the resume is becoming more and more redundant, there really isn't a surefire substitute to take its place. There are many effective methods and suggestions, but none of those are as effective as the traditional resume. Yet. But then again, that doesn't mean there's no room for growth, right? Stick around, we'll talk more about resumes and why they're becoming obsolete when we come back, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
And we're back on 5 for Fortune. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and we are talking about resumes and the reasons why it could become obsolete in the very near future. See, here's what's interesting. According to a piece on HR Drive, one of the biggest flaws of a resume might also be why it has persisted for so many years, because it's basically a history of a person's work that's shortened into a page or two, at most. There are two kinds of resumes. One is a history of the stuff that you've done over the years, and the other captures the footprints an employee has left on projects and work and assignments. The second one with the footprints is very rare and is harder to produce because it details proof of a person's work, and it's a more accurate snapshot of how a person works instead of who that person thinks he or she is. According to Ankit Somani, the co-founder of Alio, Alio is an AI-based recruitment firm. A lot of companies are starting to use resumes as data collection exercises instead of decision-making tools. They usually decide after giving the candidate a series of questions or tests that they have designed instead. Pretty interesting. Anyway, let's continue talking about AI and how it can eliminate bias as number three on today's list.
Number three.
So one big reason why recruiters will turn to AI is because it'll help eliminate bias in the hiring process. Companies will normally never tell you that they're discriminating against you, obviously, but because the process is so human, for lack of a better word, more often than not, employees already have a preconceived idea of who their next hire is going to be, which in itself is a kind of bias, however passive that may be. But by using AI, recruiters can focus entirely on how well someone's skill set will help fill a gap in the company. And once you have concrete data like that, it's hard to sort of sway away from making the right decision, unless, you know, your bias is so incredibly strong that you wouldn't mind risking your company's well-being just to hire the person that you want. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but AI plans to sort of make it happen less, basically. Okay, let's look at some tech startups that are offering AI-enhanced recruiting services and how they've sort of cleaned their data of any kind of bias. There's Pymetrics, which counts Unilever and Tesla among its 60 or so big-name clients. Pymetrics creates custom recruitment algorithms based on how top employees at each client company scores on online games that measure 90 different traits, such as attention or altruism. Applicants play the online games and are evaluated based on how they score on the desired quality. Which sounds pretty casual and almost fun, even. To guard against bias, Pymetrics tests each algorithm against a candidate pool of about 50,000 people for whom it has demographic data. Another example is HireVue, which launched in 2005 to help companies conduct video interviews with talent from around the world. HireVue also introduced assessment algorithms in 2015, which are used by nearly 100 of its 700 video clients. The algorithm picks up on more than 20,000 visual and audio cues like a smile or tone of voice, word choice even, and then they are compared to similar data from existing top employees. So they're kind of benchmarking you against their top performers, but it's not all that bad. Because let's look at some results pulled from HR Drive's article on future hiring methods. Hilton Hotels and Resorts, which uses HireVue for their call center positions, has reduced time to hire from 6 weeks to 7 days, which is a huge gap and a very, very sped up process, basically. Unilever, which uses it to hire new graduates, sees a 16% increase in new hire diversity. HireVue tests the algorithms for bias, and modifications are available for people with special needs even. The algorithms target skills specific to each role, so applicants for analytical roles wouldn't be judged on the empathic facial expressions, the same way applicants for customer service roles would be, judged. So you see, the algorithm isn't as robotic as people might expect. If anything, it's trying to mimic the human hiring process, but without the human bias, which is kind of a win-win if you think about it. And it's also trying to get the best fit for each company.
Number four.
Since we've mentioned skill sets a few times as the most important aspect of the hiring process, let's chat about that a bit real quick. We all have a section on our resumes that say skills, right? And it's where we normally chuck all the stuff that doesn't fit anywhere else. There'll usually be like these random things like proficient in Microsoft Office tools like Word and Excel. Sure, you know, great at Adobe Illustrator, even though you took that one trial class that one time, you know, stuff like that. There's really no other way to prove you're good at those things other than A, telling people you are, and B, indicating that you use those skills in your previous company, and C, giving references to people who can vouch for you. References are probably the most reliable source of information at this point, but if your references are also your friends, then there's also a huge chance that they will vouch for you, which is good for you in the long run, but doesn't serve the company or doesn't benefit the company who's trying to hire someone who's actually fit for the job. Now, in any case, a big flaw with resumes is that it highlights experience more than skills, because if you've never applied your real skills in a previous job, then it becomes a footnote in your resume, which is a shame. For example, say you're really, really, really good at art. You draw, you know, you're a master with an ink and a pen and some paper. But because of necessity, like a lot of people do, you took up the first job that was offered to you when you moved to KL at 21 and spent 10 years doing administration work, or you were a manager somewhere in maybe a bank, or you know, you were in event management or whatever it is, in a company that paid relatively well for the time. Now, let's say you want to switch fields, you know, follow your passion, and somewhere where you can apply your real skills at a new job, something that'll allow you to draw, finally. So, in this scenario, you have two choices. Start fresh and hope they believe you can draw, or two, show them a portfolio, proving that you can draw. Notice how neither of these scenarios needs a resume at all. That's because it doesn't highlight your drawing skills. Why would it? You know, it only paints you as someone who has 10 years of event management expertise behind you. This is what some people call the skills gap. There's a void between what a person is good at and what they're actually doing for a company. One way to use this to your advantage is by listing skills instead of experiences in your resume itself. Say you were a waiter for 6 years, right? Instead of saying waiter at restaurant X, you could highlight that you have customer service skills, because you do, it's not a lie. See, now your options have widened from just front-end F&B to overall customer service. That's why employers and potential employees are doing away with resumes, or at least they're changing resumes to highlight skills instead. Because at the end of the day, what a company needs is actually the skills that you have. And while, of course, experience matters, it sort of works against you in the job that you're applying for in a completely different field. Right, final segment on today's list, and I always like to keep the most obvious reasons for last, simply because they're also the most overlooked reasons in most of the time. No resume required is the title of today's show, and resumes will not be required simply because they're so easy to manipulate. That's number 5 on today's list.
Number 5.
Okay, so on one end, you have this document that's designed to be short and provide only the most basic information about a person's professional life so far. According to recent studies, that in itself is a flawed concept, but one that's still being used because of how widespread it is. And then you have statistics that claim that more than half of all resumes contain some kind of falsehood. It could be stretched employment dates to fully fabricated degrees. There was an episode of Five for Fortune hosted by Rich Bradbury not too long ago with Mark Liao from Verity Intelligence, and they spoke about lies that people tell on their job applications and resumes. It was such a fun episode. Go look it up on the BFM app or on the BFM website. But yeah, the point is, more and more employers are beginning to understand how unreliable resumes can be. So zooming on a bit, it's kind of easy to see why resumes will probably, potentially, possibly go out of style over the next decade. If AI takes over the hiring process in a big way and companies start to rely on their own tests to see if candidates possess the skills that they need, then there really won't be a need for a paper containing all these details. Now, the resume will never be completely gone though. Let's just make that clear. There will still be some version of the resume around as a data sheet. Companies will still need that initial indicator of where you've been and what you've done, and that's where the resume comes in. It won't be a deciding factor, but more like a name tag or a tag that's latched onto your suitcase, you know, with all the details that you need. But yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting to watch the hiring process completely change, if it ever does. Or who knows, you know, our grandkids could still be using resumes when they go looking for a job. We'll see. That is all the time that we have for this episode. As always, if you want to catch up on parts that you missed, just stream this episode again via the BFM app, available for free on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. This has been Arvind Yuvraj on 5 for Fortune, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.